Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. He's responsible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three.
Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys NBA podcast, playoff edition, NBA draft edition as well. My name is Mitch Casey. You can find me at Ball Boys NBA on Twitter, and I'm joined as always with my good mate Cal. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well, my man. Exciting show today.
Lots to catch up on. We obviously haven't recorded since the playoffs have started. I suppose it's a bit hard to like react to playoff stuff where every day there's something different happening, and you know, the second we record on a Monday night or whatever, and the next day it's a different result. So just checking in about the playoffs every once in a while. But how have you gone? You're $20 lighter than last time we recorded.
Thanks for reminding everyone. I did lose. It was the bet against Miami Heat. I thought they could bring it out, dominate the Bucks like they did last year, but obviously not the case. Pretty disappointed in my boys. And yeah. They got swept. They
did. They got brushed aside by the Bucks, who came out and dominated. I was even surprised by that. I thought the Heat had something else in them rather than what they dished up. But hey, I'm not complaining. I got my $20. And here we go. We're on.
Maybe it's his son. The secret's Jay Crowder. Maybe he's one of the best players in the league. I don't know. He's doing pretty well in the Suns. Did pretty well
exactly,
last year with
yeah.
Miami against the Bucks.
He's the next. Who was the last guy that was on the Warriors and then the Raptors? What was that? Pat McCaw. He's the next Pat McCaw or something.
The ultimate glue guy.
The glue guy that brings the team together, catapults them to the finals. Who knows? Maybe it is. I mean, he's a good 3-and-D guy. But how have you been enjoying the playoffs, Cal? You've been watching a few games and here and there. I know it's hard with our work schedule, but have you managed to check in and tune in to some of the highlight games?
I've watched a few. There's a few series that's definitely piqued my interest.
I'm
a big fan of the Hawks-Philly matchup. That's actually one of my favorites. I also really enjoy watching the Suns team. I'm really kind of jumping above the Suns. So those are kind of my top two. The Jazz and Clippers, I'm actually kind of intrigued with as well, because Kawhi is kind of stepping it up and proving himself. So there's some great series all going around. And the one I was most keen for was the Nets and Milwaukee, which has now taken another turn, being like, you know, Brooklyn, are they going to sweep him? And now they've got an injury with Kyrie, injury with James Harden. So they could be going. They could be out due to injury.
Yeah. Well, so I guess we'll start there. Like, let's start there. It's the most juicy matchup of the
I thought it was
second round.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it still could be. I mean, we know that Kyrie and Harden have been ruled out for game five, which sucks. So, and where's that one being played? In Brooklyn, I believe. So,
right.
You know, I'm not ruling out the possibility of Brooklyn still coming out and winning that game and Kevin Durant just saying fuck you to everyone and coming out and just putting the team on his back and drops 45, 50 points and sort of pulls his team over the line. I'm not ruling that out. You'd have to think that Milwaukee are the favorites now just with some of those injuries. But I don't know. From what I've seen, I don't think it's like an easy pick now. I still think it's a bit of a coin flip. Where are you at with this series in terms of, like, what do you think is going to be the swing factor and who do you think is going to take it?
I think if James Harden and Kyrie can't come back, you got to go the Bucks, right? You just have to.
Yeah.
But I if they were healthy, then that's what definitely win. They were looking so good. The first two games weren't really even that competitive.
Without James Harden, yeah.
He's still ruled out, isn't he? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm saying they won the first two games with James Harden playing like 12 seconds or whatever it was. Like,
so in game one, and they still uncomfortably. So I was kind of losing hope in the Bucks, and now obviously this turn of events has happened. Game three was interesting, very low scoring. I think it was 83, very low scoring, 86, which to some degree, I guess you can compliment the defense, but it's a bit of an anomaly in terms of the Nets' offense. So I think you're right with Durant. He's lined up for a big game. I can see like a 50-point piece from him in the next couple. But I'd still probably back the Bucks at this point with the uncertainty.
Yeah, it is tough because we don't know. I mean, both injuries, they're not injuries that you just say, okay, ruled out, they're not coming back this series. There's question marks. I mean, I've mentioned before, the NBA's ability to rehab hamstring injuries to me and historically has been pretty bad, at least compared to other areas in the world. But so I'm a bit more concerned with James Harden. Kyrie, it's an ankle sprain. It's something that, you know, of course, there are definitely varying degrees. I haven't had a chance to see if it's like a grade two, or grade three or whatever, or grade one. So he could be back depending on the severity of that injury, but I don't know. It definitely favors the Bucks. The first two games, I thought I was getting ready for a sweep, really. I was getting ready for a 4 or 5 game matchup because the Bucks were just, they were playing right into the hands of the Nets. Like, they were pushing the pace, launching threes. Their offense looked slack and lazy. There was like one pass shot. And I feel like if you go up against this Brooklyn team with that kind of pace, you're playing right into their hands, especially when you've got multiple All-Stars. Whereas I think now, when there's just the Durant factor, you can afford to play a bit more at that fast pace because they don't have as many lethal weapons coming the other way. So for that reason, it definitely helps the Bucks because they can play their brand of basketball a bit more, which is very fast pace. You wouldn't really think about it because they're known as a good defensive team, but they love to get up and down the court. They bomb threes all the time. So I think the nature of them not having any firepower allows them to play more at their pace rather than what they had to do in game three, which was slow it right down and play a slower brand of basketball, which I think was a good adjustment by them, and sort of hats off to them for making that adjustment. So, but yeah, very interesting. Lots of turns and shakeups with this one. How many games do you think Milwaukee needs to get it done? Do you reckon they get it done in six?
I think it's going to go 6 or 7.
Well, obviously.
I know, it's two, isn't it? So it has to. Yeah. I'd probably say at this point it's going to go, probably, I guess they can pull it off in six. They just need to win the next couple. They've won two in a row now.
Yeah.
Keep the momentum going. But in the back of my mind, I do think one of these next two will be a Durant game, will be like a Durant 50 piece.
Yeah.
So, look.
Yeah, it's a flip of the coin for me. Just what I saw in the first two games, I was very, very down on the Bucks and what they could produce, and it just really didn't look competitive. So I'm still giving the Nets a chance, assuming that one of James and Kyrie can come back for game six. If they win the next game, if Brooklyn win the next game, I think they win the series. I really think whoever wins this next game is going to win the series, basically, is what it's going to come down to, which is high stakes. Because if you win this game, you afford another game for James and Kyrie to come back. And if you lose it, well, then you've either got to force them to come back early or obviously they won't be ready. So, it's just tough. So I think they've got to win this next game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't even think, because like Kyrie was the ankle thing. Like, he relies on his ankles so much. I don't know what he's going to be like. I mean, you can stretch it. Obviously, they had the best medical treatment possible, so it's a tricky one. But I think it's a flip of coin as well. I'm not too sure who to go with at this point.
Yeah, well, we'll see. By the time this podcast comes out, the game might already be decided. It's on tomorrow, our time, 10:30 in the morning for us, 10:30 over there in America. So, unfortunately, we'll both be stuck at work, so we'll have to watch the game afterwards. Not one that I can get home to, unfortunately, but will be very interesting. I'm going to be trying to avoid spoilers to watch this game in the afternoon, so I can sit back and watch it all unfold. Very, very keen to see that happening. Let's move on to another series. We'll stick in the East here. You said this one piqued your interest a lot, especially today. the Philadelphia versus Atlanta Hawks. Now, I've been on the record saying that Philly is my pick to win everything. I'm going to just start the conversation by saying that's still my pick. I picked Philly to win the series in six. With it going back to Philadelphia, I still think that could happen, but I'm maybe a little bit less confident, but I'm still picking my pick because I think Embiid's playing heavy minutes anyway, and that was my biggest worry was him playing minutes and being healthy. What are your thoughts on this series?
Look, your pick is starting to look pretty good, but I mean, look, I was picking the Nets and injuries are derailing them, so
yeah,
I'm not going
to. Yeah, well, it's hard to. No, it's hard to predict those sort of things, but yeah.
But they're looking good. I reckon the series is going seven. This series looks like a great series. Trae Young's killing it. I love watching these games as well. This, the kind of defensive weapons that Philly are throwing at Trae. It does hurt that Danny Green is out a little bit. I think it hurts him a bit.
Yeah, that does hurt a little bit.
I think it's going to have more minutes for Matisse Thybulle, who made the all-defensive second team today, by the way. So
yes, he did. He did. Him. That was announced just today.
Yep. So congrats. But
obviously not the floor spacer that Danny Green is, though.
No. Well, he's still a bit of a heat check, which I guess Danny is too. I think it was game one, he shot a few threes and he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And that game one was really interesting. Towards the end, like, Philly really turned on their defense and, you know, full court pressed it. They're obviously trying to get the ball out of Trae Young's hands a bit more than New York Knicks did. I just like this series. I think Trae Young's kind of like the one guy that, for some reason, I love to hate a little bit. Just, like, his attitude just, like, kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit, but I still kind of love
it. Does it?
It's like, I don't know. It's such a love-hate. So it's entertaining. It's just entertaining to watch.
He's won me over. Like, I had question marks of him going into the playoffs. I think I picked the Knicks initially in the first round because I wasn't sure how Trae was going to go. I thought he'd be exposed on defense, but they've done a really good job of sort of like hiding him away and then keeping him fresh on offense. And he's obviously been running the show. 18 assists today, just absolute clinic. So he's really impressed me, and he stood up and said, "Look, I'm legit." Luka's out. You traded me for Luka. He's out. I'm still in.
Luka's so never made shutting up. Round, so.
That's right. Yeah, and here we are with Trae Young. So maybe Atlanta won that trade. I don't know. Some might have a little bit of a merit to it now, but Trae Young's you're legit. I'm very happy with what he's been doing, and I like the dog in him. I like the bowing in the MC Madison Square Garden. I like the sort of banter that he's throwing out there. So. I enjoy it. It's good theater.
He reminds me a bit of Steve Nash, and I think that's what he said. He replicated his game after at the draft. On Drafter. He was like, Steve Nash is the guy I feel I look up to.
And that was his comp. Yeah, it was him, and then there was the Steph Curry comp, but that was always ridiculous because Steph is one of a kind.
Well, I thought the media were loving the Steph Curry comp. They're like, oh, it's a guy who can
they fed into it. But
was like, who do you see yourself? And I'm pretty sure he said Steve Nash, and you look at it and it. You can see it. You can definitely see this.
You can definitely see it. Yeah. 100%. 100% you can see it. So you think seven games? You think Philly still scrapes by, though?
I think Philly scrapes by. But the one big thing is you can never trust Joel Embiid's health. So, look, I would not.
Yeah.
Look, if he goes down for a game, who knows? Maybe 100%. Maybe the Hawks do actually sneak in here.
Yeah, look, I haven't. It's tough with these Eastern Conference games because they're obviously on early in the day and both of us are working. So we don't get to watch as many of these games. I do get to watch more of the Western Conference games getting home a bit earlier in the day. But so I haven't actually watched him play that much, but I'm seeing him put up big numbers.
He
I'm seeing
good.
Him.
You wouldn't even tell that he's injured. Apparently.
From the highlights, he looks great. Yeah. And it's like being a meniscus injury as someone who works in that sort of area, there's a varying degrees of them, but you can play on a torn or a sort of injured meniscus. It just depends on pain levels, and if you can get through the pain levels, it's fine, and you can get a jab and things like that. So I'm not too concerned. Obviously, he's a big dude, so those leg injuries obviously carry more weight. But I'm optimistic about his chances to continue playing these kind of minutes and getting himself through. Obviously, if they can win in six and get there sooner so he can get a little bit more rest, then that would be optimal. But I'm cautiously optimistic about Embiid's injury.
I'm picking Philly in seven. But as I said, okay. If Joel goes down, Hawks could sneak in.
I think that's always the asterisk. We've got to assume health, and right now he's playing, so we've got to assume that. So I'm actually going to pick them in six. I think that they get it done. It's been close. It's been competitive. They're going back to Philadelphia now. They're going to win that game, and I think Embiid, Ben Simmons, Doc, they're going to close it out in six, personally. But I could see it, you know, it could easily go to seven, but I'm just going to pick six. Stick with my original pick. Let's move over to the West. Let's talk about the bright now Suns. first off, jump on board, Cal. I'm all aboard. Like, all our teams are gone. The Celtics obviously got knocked out. The Heat got swept. Jermaine's Lakers are out. You know, the Knicks are out. All our teams, the ball boys teams, are all out. So we've got no one left to cheer for. So of all the teams that I'm jumping on, this is my bandwagon team. I'm jumping on the Suns. I'm hoping for them to go all the way.
Me too. And I think it's very realistic at this point. Very realistic
that they go all the way. I think that they're going to make it out of the West at this point. I think that they're actually going to make the NBA Finals. They're playing the best basketball out of any team. I just love their roster. I mean, I know Chris Paul's getting a lot of the credit, and, you know, deservedly so. He had an amazing series against Denver. But this team is so well constructed, you know, from top to bottom, really, in terms of how it's built. And I want to talk about this team. We're going to be talking about draft a little bit later, but there's a lot of good fit guys on this sort of team that we'll talk about as comparisons in the draft. But just loving the Suns. They're so fun. Like, they're so fun to watch. Campaign coming off the bench, whacking in threes. DeAndre Ayton just dominating the big men. Like, you know, it's so fun to watch Chris Paul just do his thing. Now he's looking healthier with the shoulder. And the crowd loves it, so I'm all in on Phoenix.
Look, Chris Paul and his shoulder is completely healthy, obviously. And you
didn't
even mention my boy D-Book. I love watching D-Book. He's a true scorer. He's like one of the best mid-range guys in the game, and I'm so happy that he's elevating his game. Chris Paul and him, such a good fit. They really are so fun. I love watching DeAndre Ayton as well. He's a hustler. He plays hard. Was he worth the number one pick? Obviously, they should have taken Luka Doncic, but look, he's still a good fit. He's a great fit for this team.
Yeah.
He's going to have a very good career. He's just a solid center. He just can kind of do a bit of everything. Great screens, rolls to the rim, can dunk, good defense.
Good defense,
And he did a good job in Jokic as well. He didn't really get in foul trouble like a lot of the bigs do. So that's a skill.
I mean, Jokic is going to get his, and he made him work for it, and he gave a little bit on offense on the other end as well. So I think that's all you can ask for from, you know, it's his third year now. I think he's doing a great job. And I also want to give a shout out to Mikal Bridges, who's one of my favorite players of theirs. Just, one of their glue guys, great shooter, great defender. Does a lot of the little things, so yeah, just all around. And Jay Crowder, our glue guy of the century, the next Pat McCaw. They seem to all fit and complement each other really, really well. They go seven or eight deep, and just great to see them go. I would love to see Chris Paul just at least make the finals. Has he made the conference finals before?
Never.
So this is his first conference finals?
With Houston, he has, but he's never made the finals.
Right, yes.
That's what he needs to achieve, get to the finals.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, just to get to the finals would be a huge achievement for him. So I'm pulling for that. He's one of the hardest working guys in the NBA, and you can really tell that he wants it. He's passionate about getting there, so I'm rooting for him. But let's also talk about Denver. Obviously, they got knocked out. Jokic ejected to finish his MVP season. He joined Steph as the only MVP to be ejected on their last game of the season.
That's a great stat.
I know. There you go. Although I think I might have stopped that. I don't think Steph, it was his last game, but only MVP to be ejected in the playoffs. What are your thoughts on Denver and their season and how it's all wrapped up? I think personally they did well just to make it to the second round. I thought they'd put up a better fight, personally. I tweeted out my predictions when the series was starting. I picked Phoenix in, I think it was six or seven. So I thought they'd do more, but Phoenix just are humming.
Sweep, get the broom out. I feel like, yeah, Chris Paul just attacked. He just knows what he's such.
They had no
guard.
Answer.
They didn't have an answer for him. Whenever he switched on Michael Porter Jr., I feel like he just cooked him every time.
Yeah.
So that was a glaring weakness for Denver on that side, which a lot of the teams didn't quite, you know, make the most of to their full extent, I think. Look, the future for Denver is a question mark. I feel like Aaron Gordon did not look good at all in this series. He'd post up a bit and he'd look all right. He'd try and attack the smaller guys, but...
Do you know why? Because Aaron Gordon is not good. And I've been beating this drum. He is not good. He's not good. Sure, he's an okay defender, but what else does he do? Anyway, just my little rant.
I'm starting to get on board, unfortunately.
Yeah. I was disappointed by Michael Porter Jr. as well. I feel like, he had his moments, especially like the first few games, but... sort of got quieter, didn't have as good a series clearly as he had it against Portland. So, which, you know, we were asking, what is he, a second year player, third year player technically? I think he's technically a third year player, but he's only really played two seasons. I don't know, it's a lot to ask for a young player like that, and he has done well. But yeah, I just don't think that they had no answer for Chris Paul. Like the pick and roll mid range jump shot, they had no answer for it. They couldn't guard him. Jokic wasn't able to get up and contest. And when he did, he'd just, you know, dish it off to DeAndre Ayton or someone cutting through, and it torched them the entire series, and they never really could adjust. So sucks for them. But I think with Jamal Murray back, hopefully next year, that they'll have another run at it for a number of seasons. We've sort of said they've got a bright future. I want to ask this question to you, Kale. Who does Phoenix want to see in the conference finals? Who would they rather verse up against, the Clippers or the Utah Jazz?
It's a good question. I guess I'd probably say Utah. I don't know why, but I just think they'd prefer Utah. Donovan Mitchell... I'm not sure if he still killed it today again. He put 37 points up again.
Yeah.
So he's putting up such a ridiculous run these playoffs. I mean, similar to last playoffs. Obviously, there was that 7-game series against Denver, and he got 2 50-point games. Oh, there was that dual 50-point game between him and Jamal as well.
So yep.
He's obviously proving himself, but I still feel like what Kawhi did in those game sixes and game seven in the first round, I'm scared of Kawhi. Like, if I'm going up against
I think
them,
everyone should be.
I'm scared of him, and not only that, but Paul George is actually he's doing his number two option thing that he should be doing. So,
yeah,
when you got a healthy Kawhi who's dominating like he did in his champion, you know, most recent Toronto championship, with a good looking Paul George and a team that, like, I kind of like their team too. I like Mann. I actually quite like Luke Kennard. Can I get more minutes, please? Like, is anyone listening to me?
Yeah, I like Luke Kennard too.
I love
Luke Kennard.
Give that man more minutes.
I think he deserves a few minutes, especially when he's shooting well. So
yeah, and
the problem is on defense, though.
That's the thing. The fact that I don't have Ibaka, actually, obviously, this team would be a lock for the finals if they had Ibaka.
Yeah,
so that does.
I think they're missing him a lot, and I think he's been ruled out for the rest of the season, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. So it's a bit of a hit to them.
Yeah, that does suck. And they've been playing a lot of centerless lineups recently. They recently made the shift to start Nicholas Batum over Zubac. So I think you're right. I think they probably do want to verse Utah more because, in my opinion, that Clippers, obviously, their defense is predicated on switching, and they're all like similar heights kind of players. And from especially what I saw in the Denver series, that Chris Paul pick and roll or that Devin Booker pick and roll just worked a lot when they can get their preferred matchup off that either switch, or if they can get Nikola Jokic sort of coming out or being afraid to come out. I don't think that they're not going to be able to exploit that against the Clippers, because obviously they're going to switch. They're all similar size. They're going to be able to get low and switch. I think that will work against Phoenix better than it worked against, say, like, a Luka Doncic who sort of feasted on those kind of matchups. But it is always interesting. I always wonder how much we can ask of Kawhi to also do on the defensive end. You know, obviously you want him guarding Donovan Mitchell.
Luka in game 6 and 7.
He is asked to, and I think that's just what they've got to do, especially here with Donovan. But at what point is it like just too much for him? Because like we're asking a lot of him because he's clearly their best offensive option. He's clearly their best defensive option. You know, how long can he keep doing it? And I think he can keep doing it the whole way through personally, but I guess it remains to be seen. Let's touch on this series now. Who have you got out of Utah and Clippers?
I'm going to go the Clippers. It's going to be a close one though. I reckon maybe yep. 6 or 7 again. I'm really excited for these.
It's another one where the home team hasn't. Oh no, sorry.
It's two.
No, this
two
is the opposite. Two, yeah, two, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Two. Yeah. So the home team's won all the games so far. Yep. So
and opposite to the last Clippers series.
Yeah. Same way that it's gone, except just in reverse, because the Clippers lost the first two and then won the last two. Same again here, but now they're doing it at home. So they love to get down to an 0-2 start, the Clips, but maybe a bit of fatigue. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but,
I'm picking them. I just think Kawhi's the better player in the series. And even though Donovan's been killing it, sometimes a series is one that's on the best player, and I think this is one of those series.
Yeah, look, I picked the Clippers too. I picked the Clippers in the beginning to make the finals. I now think the Suns have a better chance just because I thought that the Clippers would make getting to this point look a lot easier than what they have. The loss of Serge Ibaka also hurts. I'm not confident, but I originally picked the Clippers in 6 in this series. I think it now probably goes 7. But I think I'll agree with you. And I think I'm still with the Clippers. I think, yeah, especially if they decide to just clamp down on Donovan with Kawhi. I don't know if the Utah have the rest of the firepower to sort of match with what the Clippers do have. Players like Reggie Jackson. Where the fuck is Reggie
he's
Jackson
been
come from?
It. Reggie has been absolutely killing it from 3-point range. My God.
Yeah. Hot. He's getting hot. Didn't see that coming, but all the power to him. I'll ask you this, Cal. Where's playoff Rondo been? What's he doing?
I just think Terrence Mann's just a better energy kind of guy off the bench. And look, as I said before, Luke Kennard, he can handle the ball too. I just think you just have to play it. You don't need the point guard. Put Rondo in for, you know, teens in terms of the minutes, 15 minutes or something, whatever.
Yeah.
But he's not a guy to close. I don't think you need him. Kawhi's your man.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, he's definitely not needed in this series and probably not in the next series either as much as what, like, the Lakers needed him last year. So, all very interesting to see how it all pans out. So I guess if our predictions are true, we've got, who do we have? Clippers and Phoenix in the conference finals. And then, did you say you're going Bucks?
At this point, I'm going to have to say Bucks because of the uncertainty.
Okay.
So maybe Bucks and Philly is what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah. So who would you pick out of Bucks and Philly?
I'm going to go Philly. The Joel Embiid element obviously is a question mark, but Philly...
Obviously, there's an asterisk there,
I think will probably be out of the East at this point. I just don't see... I still think Giannis has such a glaring weakness in his game. I just...
The free throws, man. Do they just... They're driving me
it's
nuts.
It's shocking. And I just have no confidence in this shot ever. So I just...
Yeah.
In a 7-game series against a very, very good team, I don't think he can get you over the hump in a conference finals.
Yeah.
He's been in the conference finals before, and he lost. I believe it was to Kawhi, wasn't it? Or was that the second round?
Yeah, that was the second round, I believe.
Has he made a
actually,
conference
I have to fact check that. I'm not sure. I'll have to actually check that. I can't remember the last time if it was. I'm pretty sure it was second round.
I have a feeling he's made the conference finals once.
I'm thinking it was Philadelphia lost in game 7 to Toronto, and then they versed Bucks afterwards,
right.
and then beat them fairly convincingly.
And Kawhi obviously looked like the better player, like he is, because he doesn't have a weakness like Giannis does. So I pick Philly. I'm gonna have to go Philly.
Yeah, look, it's funny. I picked Philly initially to make it all the way because I thought they were going to be versing the Brooklyn Nets. But if they were to verse Milwaukee, I actually think that's a tougher matchup for them. I think the matchup suits them better if they verse Brooklyn because of their ability to defend a bit better. They've got 3 players in the all-defensive team. And then you throw in players like, you know, Tobias Harris, who's a very solid defender. They had Danny Green there, who obviously is out injured at the moment. But, you know, like they're a very solid defensive team. So I thought that they could match up well with Brooklyn. I think Like, who guards Giannis? Is it Ben Simmons?
It's got to be Ben Simmons on the perimeter, surely.
Yeah,
but you got to do team.
I'd say so too. Yeah,
like you got to build that wall.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I still think it would be them, but I actually think it'd be harder than if they were to come up against Brooklyn, especially I guess considering the injuries. But even if they were healthy, I think it's a tougher matchup per se. But still, we'll be excited either way. So I guess that leads us to a Phoenix-Philadelphia finals. Quick one. Who do we think would win that matchup? We'll obviously touch on this when it does come finals and if we are correct. But who would you pick in that series?
I weirdly am going to have to go for... I think Phoenix can win it all. I honestly think that they should really kind of be the favorites. I don't know why, but... There's so much uncertainty.
They're playing the best.
And they're playing so well. They're already in the conference finals. I have no idea what's happening in those other rounds. Like, it really could... Obviously, we have our preference, but... I mean, look, the Nets could come out. You never know. Like, as I said, the Hawks could steal one if Joel goes down. Like, you don't know.
But yeah, there's a lots of uncertainty in those other series. I think it is close.
The Suns are playing so well. D-Book's a winner. DeAndre Ayton, Ivy's going up against Joel. That's a good guy to throw against Joel Embiid. Let's face it.
So. Yep. It'll be a tough matchup for him. We've got to remember he's still young, so I think that is a tough matchup. Does Ben Simmons lock up Booker?
That'd be good to see. Like, I don't know. I reckon it'd be a great matchup.
It will be. I think it'll be a fantastic matchup. I think I'm rooting for that to be the finals. I think we're all on the anti Nets wagon, just for anti super teams. But we'll see how it all works out. I think I'm still on Philadelphia. I picked them at the start. I'm going to ride them the whole way. I would be very happy if Phoenix wins. I think that's where my heart wants to go, but my head's saying Philly.
I will point out that before the playoffs, I did. This is when we knew where the seeds were. I asked you hypothetically if there was a Utah Suns matchup, who would you pick? You know, the 1v2 seed, and you did say Utah. You said Utah would beat them. Obviously,
did I say that?
You revised that. Because I have revised that. Because I was like, you got to go to the Suns, and you said Utah. So,
yeah. Well, no, good on you. I'm revised. I will. If I did say that, I'll tip my hat to you with the foresight. But I think they've got more weapons on Phoenix now that I've And to be fair, I'll point myself out. I didn't watch too much Phoenix in the regular season. I must admit, I was sort of a bit of a hater, you could say. Wasn't believing it yet, but I've seen enough now. I've seen enough in the playoffs and the big moments that... And yeah, they're just so fun to watch. So all aboard Phoenix. All aboard Phoenix. Let's move over to our next topic. And this is going to be our big topic of the evening. We're talking NBA Draft. And NBA Draft Big Board 1.0. Obviously, you and I, we're both big NBA fans. I don't know about you, but personally, I don't watch a whole lot of college basketball, at least while the NBA season is going, but I really do love draft season. I almost love it more than like the playoffs. I don't know. There's something about it. There's something about that I love the NBA draft. I always take the day off work and pull a sickie and watch the draft. I don't know. There's something about these players getting picked to their teams. There's often some fun trades going on. So I love this time of year. I love getting stuck into the research and evaluating the prospects. But so we're going to go through our big board lottery. So just the top 14 picks. I don't know about you, Cal, but I've broken mine up into tiers. Have you done something similar?
Well, there's a clear tier one. And then after that, I've kind of just left it and just kept going.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I'll break mine down into tiers. You can tell me if you disagree or not. We haven't spoken yet about our sort of prospects and where we think they should be ranked. So we'll be reacting organically. So and if you have any questions or anything or anyone that we left off, please hit us in the comments. If you are keen on the NBA draft, we're going to be covering it all up until the actual draft day and beyond. So subscribe, give the video a like, and let's get started, Cal. Let's get jump straight into it. I think this number one is pretty easy. Who have you got at number one?
You're going to give me a layup and let me have the number one pick?
Yeah, you can have the layup.
I'm going to have to go...
I'll throw the lob.
No, I'm kidding. I'm going to have to go Kay Cunningham, obviously. Everyone's been talking about him for a long time now. He's meant to be, you know, the next Luka Doncic or the next Ben Simmons with a jumper, which is a scary thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I feel like there's a lot of hype. He starts to prove himself. I'm always about people who prove themselves in the actual league, but prospect, he's the clear number one.
I think he's the real deal. I'm super excited for Cade Cunningham. I've got in my tier ranking system, I've got tier one, I've got one name, and it's Cade Cunningham. He's in a tier of his own. I think no matter what team gets the number one pick, he's the player they pick. He'll fit any team. He can play as the big point guard. He can play as a wing who does ball handling. I think, and I'll do some player comparisons for each of these guys. I'm not the biggest fan of player comparisons in general, just because it can sometimes sound like you're either hyping them up or making them sound not as good. And there's usually some differences. But so my comparison would be a Luka Doncic with a bit more defense. Or
scary.
Which is scary. Probably not the scorer that Luka Doncic is. Probably doesn't have the scoring chops that he does. And the other comparison is a Ben Simmons with a jump shot. But again, probably not as athletic. Probably more of a Luka Doncic level of athleticism. So those are the two comparisons, which either one, like that sounds just horrifying. 6'8", 220 pounds already. Just has it all. He's got the step back jumper. Yeah, just scary. I think he's a future, in my opinion. Just his ceiling is obviously MVP level to me personally.
Yeah, I can see that ceiling as well. I think he looks like an exceptional passer. Can run the offense, big enough to play defense, and like,
yeah,
he is. It looks like he'll be a good 3-point shooter. So he actually shot 40% from three, which is
and the shots he was taking were not open. You know, kick out, standing still, jump shots. Yeah. He's hitting tough shots.
And every team he was versing were obvious. They knew that, like, you know, he had a bit of a target on his back. So it was,
yep.
The defense was homed around him, and he still shot 40%. So that is promising. I just love the passing. I think that's the main thing about this guy. He's got great vision with the height, and that's why I think my playing comparison is like what you touched on is Luka, but not quite the scorer. So.
Yeah,
I think Luka could be like, you know, one of the old timers. So I think Luka would be a better. I'd get him as a better prospect, obviously.
Look, I can see that. I think you can probably value Luka's scoring ability a bit more than Cade's defensive scoring defensive ability. And obviously, Cade hasn't done it on the NBA level yet. I'm projecting forward, but I think he and Cade are going to be the next, you know, LeBron KD. I think this is going to be their league personally. From what I've seen, I'm a big, big, big fan of Cade Cunningham's. I think the team who drafts him has a chance of making the playoffs next year. Depending on the team, maybe not.
Even if it's Detroit?
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not Detroit or OKC. We'll see. But say OKC's Houston gets Shane. Him.
They got someone at least.
Yeah, if Al Horford plays the whole season. But yeah, probably not Detroit. But there's, you know, if there's one of those bottom teams, like say Houston picks him, like that's a pretty scary team, you know, with him and you know, some of their other players. So they'd make some noise. They'd get close, I think. Let's move on to the next tier. There's probably not too much discussion to happen with Cade, but this is where I've got three names here. In my next tier,
I've got four names in my next tier, so I'm intrigued to see where you go.
Interesting. I'll name the three, and then I'll throw it up to you. You let me know your order, and then the other player that I've left off. In my rankings, I've got at two, Evan Mobley, at three, Jalen Suggs, and at four, Jalen Green. In my next tier, okay. Who have I left off, Cal? That you've got. And let me know if it's in a different order.
I threw in into that same tier was Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay.
The good.
I thought that might be who it was.
Young looking wing with a lot of skill, a lot of ceiling. But my order was a bit different. So run through yours again.
I think this. So I had Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, and then Jalen Green. And I've been moving these three. Probably the last two more so, back and forward. So I'm okay with a different order, and that's why they're in the same tier for me. I do think Kuminga's a bit further back in my opinion, but what's your order?
I've got Jalen Green at the two. I love his game. Okay. A bit of a combo guard. He's obviously a scorer. And that's yes. usually my favorite kind of player. So there's maybe a bit of bias there.
It sounds like a Callum kind of pick. It does. It sounds exactly like a Callum kind of pick.
He looks like a, you know, Bradley Beal kind of guy. Absolute scorer. Yep. Can do it all. Like, obviously not really a point guard scorer.
yeah.
Super athletic. Really great fader. I love his game. Yep. I reckon he looks great. So he's my number two on my board.
Okay.
I then have.
I don't hate it. That's
look, he's in the same tier, at least, that you had.
Yeah, no, I don't hate it at all. I like, yeah, again, they're all pretty close to me. Who's your next?
Then I got Jalen Suggs at the number three pick, which I think we agreed on
with Suggs. Yes, I've got him at three. So ours are basically just flipped.
Yep. And then, well, I actually have Jonathan Kuminga at the four.
And
Evan Mobley, a bit of disrespect to him at the five.
Really? Okay.
He dropped down.
He didn't see that one coming.
Sorry, but look.
Is that a center like phobia? Are you just out on centers or
it is a bit
because that was my hesitation.
I'm out on centers. I've decided of these prospects who are in the same tier, I feel like the center should probably most times just fall to the bottom of that list, right? He's a shot blocker.
Yeah, okay.
He can play defense in the perimeter. He averaged like 2.9 blocks a game.
Yeah, I think maybe even three. Yeah,
Wiseman probably looked like a better athlete coming out of the draft, but this guy's defensive IQ is definitely a lot better. And that's
I would have to disagree with that. I think this guy's a bit more of a better lateral athlete. I think Wiseman was a bit he was a better sprinter. Probably may have a bit more of a vertical jump, but in terms of where I think it actually counts, in terms of lateral movement, defending out in the perimeter, I think Mobley's a much better prospect and his defensive sort of instincts are a bit more there, which is why I've got him there. My biggest hesitation is the fact that he is a center and I don't like drafting centers at the top of draft. They are, but I think he's clearly got the highest upside of this group. I don't think you can really deny that. I think, you know, my comp to him is Anthony Davis light. And another throwback here. I don't know if you might not have seen many highlights. I haven't seen him play, obviously. He's too old for me. But a shorter, quicker Ralph Sampson is another one of my comps. You know, thin sort of guy. Likes to shoot a little bit. Shot blocker. So those are my comps. But I can't get behind him being behind Kuminga personally. We might touch on him a bit later, but
I think the ceiling is better for Kuminga. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. No. I don't know. See, I think I think Mobley's got the most bust potential.
Yeah, I'm worried.
He's probably the highest bust potential, but I think he's also got the highest ceiling. And I'm more confident. I'm much more confident with him than Wiseman. You heard me last year. I was out on Wiseman. I was not a fan. I didn't think he could defend. I didn't think he did anything particularly great. Yes, he was a good athlete, but I don't know. I was out on Wiseman. But I see it in this guy. He's got better ball handling ability, better passing instincts. Seems to be a much smarter defender. There's even a bit of shooting potential there. He's, you know, he shot over, what did he shoot over? 31.5% from three. Not the cleanest looking jump shot, but there's something to work with there. But from this tier, I think that depending on the team who's drafting, I'm happy with it. You going with any of the three that I named, you know, say you're Detroit or probably not Detroit. Let's say you're Houston. I think you probably shouldn't draft Mobley because you've got a Christian Wood there, for example. And I would be much happier if they drafted a Jalen Green or a Jalen Suggs. Would you, obviously you would agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. One of the comparisons to Mobley actually is Christian Wood. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess Christian Wood can hit the three. You probably.
I think he's a bit more mobile than Christian Wood and he's got better defensive instincts. I think he'd be an upgrade over Christian Wood.
Definitely got better defensive instincts, 100%.
Yeah. He could be a game-changing kind of player on the defensive end, even if the offense doesn't come. So that's why I think his floor is. I don't think any of these guys will be really a bust, but I think his floor is still there as that, like bare minimum, he's going to be a good defensive center, I think at bare minimum, which is valuable in the NBA. Unlike what Wiseman has, which, you know, he can sort of been played off the court because of his defensive liabilities.
So one question I'll ask you is why do you have Suggs above Jalen Green?
See, these are the two I've been wrestling, and I could swap these around. I just think Suggs is a safer pick. I think he's got a higher floor, and there's a world where Jalen Green is like a an Andrew Wiggins type, a scorer, an empty kind of scorer. I can see that happening.
He'd look good.
He looks great. Clearly the most athletic person in the draft. You know, my comparisons here are, you know, Zach LaVine.
Yeah, that's my kind of comparison as well. He isn't.
I think that's the easy one to make, but I think it's the most accurate. You know, I'm not going to fight it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Have you seen his fader?
Why have you got him over?
His fader honestly reminds me a bit of, and this is why I put him so high, is his fader is very, very hard to guard because he gets so high. And
yes.
It kind of reminds me a bit of, because Michael Jordan, obviously that was his move.
The
unguardable fader. I'm not saying it reminded me a little bit. I was like, how do you defend that jumper? Ooh. He makes so much
wow.
so high.
Lofty expectations on the young bloke. Jesus Christ, Callum.
So that's why he's my number two. If anyone reminds me at all of Michael, then I'll have to give him the number two.
Jesus, okay. Well, I don't think he's got the... I don't know if he's got the ball handling.
He's like a that, combo like, guy. He's got a bit of ball handling.
Yeah, he's got a little bit, but not enough to sort of like really separate himself and get the jumper off. That could definitely come. I think it's his big swing factor. I'm also, you know, defense. Yes, he's got the physical tools. He's long, obviously. But the instinct, from what I've seen in terms of the scouting film and stuff like that, I haven't, the raps on him on defense has not been too great. So we'll see. And what's the G League, like what's this G League level at? Like how, what is it like compared to college? I mean, it's only just sort of recently been a new thing, you know, players going to the G League instead of, college. So I don't know. I mean, they're bigger bodies, I guess, and you've got some NBA athletes in there. But I don't know, is the coaching as good? Is the overall talent? And I don't know, it's hard to gauge.
But he was clearly the best athlete in the G League, like by far.
Oh, he's the best athlete in the draft.
You watch him play and he was just, you know, levels above anyone else.
Yeah. I think a common theme with me is athleticism. I bumped down a little bit. I'm not as keen on athleticism. In general, I just think that, like, the MVP this year was fucking Nikola Jokic. Like, look at him.
He's an anomaly. He is a very special player. He's 7 foot.
Look at Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic. He's not an athlete.
He is sneaky athletic. People underrate his athleticism. I'll say that.
He's strong, you know.
He
like,
drives
you know,
by
James
a lot of
Harden.
People. He's like a James Harden. He looks like James Harden when he plays.
But you can get strong. You don't have to be explosive and like a bunny, you know what I mean? Like, which is what... That's what Jalen Green is. He's a springboard. So I'm taking into account, and obviously he's in my top four, but yeah. Talk to me about Jalen Suggs. We haven't touched on him. What's your thoughts on him?
I just think he's really solid. He's probably the safest pick, I think, in the draft too. He'll be a good player for a long time. High IQ, you know, can run a team. Just does everything really well.
Yep.
His comparison, I don't know. I'm not too sure who to compare him with. He's like a solid kind of guard like him. I guess he can shoot it pretty well. So he's kind of like a... do you have a good comparison? I'm struggling to think.
Yeah, I've got two. I'll throw these ones, see if you like them. I've got a more athletic version of Chauncey Billups or Kyle Lowry. That's my kind of comparison. I think he's obviously more athletic than those two. And those are two... I think both of them are all-stars level players.
He's 6'4" as well, but so he's bigger than a Kyle Lowry.
Yeah. Yeah, he's bigger than Kyle Lowry. You're definitely that Chauncey Billups kind of size.
Yeah.
But just solid, smart, can be a team leader, I believe. Everyone keeps going on about the fact that he played quarterback in high school or whatever, as if, I don't know, I don't think that really means much, but he seems like a bit of a leader, so... Yeah, like you said, I think he's just a safe pick. He's a nice, solid. I think he'll be a borderline all star. Might get to an all star, a few all star games. So I just think he's safe.
Yeah, he's the
and
safest.
If the team needs a guard, then obviously he's your pick.
Yeah, Brendan Roy. Actually, I can actually see a bit of that in his game.
Oh yeah,
Like, can do a bit of everything. Doesn't jump at you with his athleticism, but still kind of good to boy by people.
I think he's sneaky athletic. He's very physical. He attacks the ring.
He does attack a lot, and he can get that first blow by, which is, I guess, all you really need.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't scream.
All right, let's move on to, well, at least this is my next tier. I've got two players in this tier. This first player is going to be, I'm putting my stamp down. This is my guy. This is the guy that I think that from all the other mock drafts, all the other big boards I've seen, this is the player that I think that I'm the highest on compared to everyone else. And that is Moses Moody at number 5. And at number 6, I've got your boy, Jonathan Kuminga.
Wow, Kuminga.
I'm a little down on, I guess you could say. I don't think he reaches the ceiling of those other guys. I don't know. I feel like he hasn't shown me as much.
There's a lot of big wings, like good athletic defensive kind of glue guys that are being speculative in this draft. And obviously, Jonathan Kuminga is one of them. Moody's a bit of him, one of those kind of prospects as well. I just think Kuminga's has got such a high ceiling. Like,
he's
an athlete, he can play defense, but he's also got a kind of good post game. He reminds me a bit of, like, the comparison's Kawhi. It's like he plays like Kawhi Leonard because he plays in the post.
Oh, I don't think, I'm off on that. I don't know about that. Nah, he's not as good a defender, I don't think, as Kawhi. Not close.
The defender, but like the play style. Like, offensively, I think his ceiling is obviously a very good defender. He's not going to
be. He has the tools. He's got the physical tools. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's a bit early and a bit presumptuous to say Kawhi from the defensive side of things.
No, like, he's obviously the offensive game. Like, he kind of picks his spots,
knows
where he likes it, and can hit a good mid-ranger, as well as he's got the tools to become a very good defender. So he's 6'8". He's one of those players who, you know, he's got the body for it. He's already got a bit of a kind of mid-range game. He reminds me a bit of that Chicago rookie this year in terms of this kind of upside.
Oh, Patrick Williams.
Patrick Williams, yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. I see him, again, I guess I'm deducting athleticism points a little bit again. He's a freak athlete. Like, one of my comparisons here is like a shorter Blake Griffin in terms of just, you know, coming out of college, Blake Griffin was just obviously a freak athlete. Had bounce, had vertical jump, and again, maybe, and this is what I was going to say. Maybe this is why you're higher on him than I am. But another comp I have is like an Aaron Gordon kind of type. You know, he's just an athlete, solid defensively, but hasn't really shown much. Still very raw offensively, and so I guess you're projecting that to come along. Whereas I feel like I need to see more now for me to believe it, to put him into the top 5. And I don't know. Is he a 4? Is he a 3? Like, what is he in the NBA? I think his best position would be a 4, personally.
Positionless basketball, man. Come on. He can play both.
Yeah, well, no, I know. But, like, I don't know. Like, on a team, I think he's, you know, your power forward sort of thing. I think that's his role, personally.
But, which is fine. He's kind of got the weight for it as well. He's 220. I think he's only getting bigger. He's 18 years old. So, I think you're right. He's got the raw skills. He hasn't quite proved himself, but the signs are there, man.
Okay, let's talk about my guy, Moses Moody, who I've got at 5 ahead of Kuminga. This is I'm planting my flag down. He reminds me of a Mikal Bridges sort of type with a bit of Chris Middleton is my other player comp. He's a lanky 6'7", 6'8". Excellent 3-point shooter, great defender on the wing. He's your at worst, he's a 3-and-D player in the NBA. At worst, I think that he's got, you know, like top ones or top two scoring ability. Shot 38% from 3, 18 points, great free throw shooter, has some sneaky playmaking ability as well. I just think he's a very safe pick with a fair chunk of upside in terms of scoring as well. But at worst, he's a plug and play 3-and-D player. And if you look at this, is what I was referring to before with the Phoenix Suns, these players are so versatile and will go on any team, and they make a championship team because you want your Devin Booker or someone who's your primary scorer, and then the rest of your team you want 3-and-D wings that complement and can play defense, stretch the floor, create a bit of their own shot, and then maybe you want to throw in a center in there that can move a little bit on defense. But I just think he's what every team is looking for if they want to build a championship team. So I'm very high on Moses Moody. I know he's usually a bit lower on some people's boards, but I'm planting my flag here. I big believer.
Yeah, I like his game. He's that kind of classic wing at this point in time. He's a good glue guy, I guess.
Where do you have him? Where do you have him on your board?
I had him at my number 8 spot.
Okay, so fair enough. I think that's more where. Yeah, I think that's more where he is. I've seen him as low as like on the ringer. I think he's at 16 or something like that. I just think that's crazy. I think, you know, there's players like who's ranked ahead of him. Like it was just crazy.
You got the like Aussie, Corey Kispert, Josh Giddey above them.
Corey Kispert's ranked ahead of him. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I cannot get behind that at all. They've got Sengun ranked above him, Franz Wagner. Yeah, I think he's ahead of all those players quite comfortably just because of his two-way ability. So, all aboard the Moses Moody train. Who have you got at 6?
So my 6 was another kind of I just like his game, Keon Johnson. Good athlete.
Okay.
I feel like I think that's the thing that screams at me, right? This man is an athlete. So
yeah.
He's pretty raw currently. Bit of a prospect, let's face it. But athlete, which I know that you love. You touched on it before.
Yeah, but I think that's the theme of my big board. I'm down on athletes. You've got to show me more.
I'm high on athletes. I'm the complete opposite. I saw it's this good. Guy. I saw his highlights. I'm like, this man is a freak. He just needs it to click and... he should be a pretty good player. So that's
great defender. He's got good wraps as a defensive player as well.
That's true. His on-ball defense and off-ball defense. I was watching some of his highlights, and he sticks to you like glue. So that right there can go into NBA. He's 6'5", 6'6". So he definitely can, you know, kind of hand some guys on the perimeter, as well as be big enough to guard your wings. So I think on that defensive end, he's already got a spot in the NBA, like right there. And with his explosive athleticism, I like if you get some kind of shot to go with it, like that's the full game, right? Inside, outside, can dunk. Yeah. You know, just a rim runner, defense. I'm a fan.
I'll tell you. Okay, I think that's where he's normally ranked. I think that's like the sort of spot that I see him pop up the most. I'm a bit down on Keon. I will say this: he is in my next tier. Like he's not far away. But in terms of my big board, I've got him ranked 12th. A little bit further back at the end of the lottery. I think you need to. I need to see more than just good defender, good athlete. I don't know. Like he reminds me of like an Isaac Okoro or like a higher upside Andre Robertson, which sounds like I'm throwing shade, but. I don't know. I need more. You've got to be able to create your own shot. You've got to at least be able to hit an open three. He shot 31% from 3-point percentage, and his shot doesn't look broken, but it doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence in terms of it's going to get there. I was reading the wrong one. Actually, 26% from 3, so even worse than what I said before. That doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence.
Defensive specialist, dude. It'll click. He's got years.
I realize that I'm on the minority here, but I don't see it. I think there's a lot of players in here that I think have a higher upside. I think he'll be a solid player, but I don't really see star potential when I see Keon, which may be not what you're drafting for at this point, but... I don't know. There's other players here that I'd like a little bit better, but I know I'm in the minority, and I'll put my hand up to say that. Don't really see it. All right, let's go through. I've got this is where I'm starting to bunch up a lot of players. So I've got 6 players in this next tier. We'll run through them a little bit quicker. Maybe we'll just touch on them a bit shorter now from here on. I've got at 7 again another person that I'm pretty high on, probably higher on than most, Trey Mann. At 8, I've got Scotty Barnes. At 9, I've got the Aussie, Josh Giddey. We'll talk about him a little bit. I've got Kai Jones at 10. Then I've got Jaden Springer at 11. And obviously Keon Johnson at 12 in the one tier. So I think that they're all pretty interchangeable there. Not much separating them. But What are your thoughts about any of those players stick out to you in your head?
I do like I'm a fan of Scotty Barnes. He was my next pick, and I kind of would have probably chucked him in the same tier with with your Scotty Barnes and Keon Johnson. I think they're pretty similar. Yep. Scotty Barnes is a bit bigger, being the 6'9", so I think he really has got, you know, that defensive upside once again. He's athletic.
Mm.
He can he averaged 4 assists as well, so he can actually somewhat pass the ball. So I mean,
he basically played point guard in college, from my understanding. I think he pretty much dribbled the ball up the court and was their de facto point guard.
Well, yeah, over there, 4 assists. He's obviously got the ball in his hand a fair bit. 1.5 steals, half a block. So I feel like all the signs kind of are there. You know, the point forward is obviously what everyone wants. And then I think he's a defensive kind of specialist. So I like him. I like his upside. So he would be the next guy. He's got his yelling at me. As I said, he'd be in my same tier. I then think there's probably a bit of a drop-off kind of after that.
Okay.
I guess you could throw Moody in that category as well, in that same tier, but that was pretty much
you had him at 8.
What rounded out my 6, 7, 8 spot.
Yep.
And then after that, I think that was probably, a bit more of a drop-off, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. I can see that. I think my point, again, going back to Keon Johnson and the Scotty Barnes comparison, they're both like defensive-orientated players. I just like the size of Scotty Barnes a bit better, and I like his playmaking ability. Both have horrible jump shots, and Scotty Barnes' jump shot probably looks even further away than what Keon's looks like in terms of mechanics. But even if he doesn't develop that good of a jump shot, he still has a role in the NBA. Like, a la, my comps are like Kyle Anderson or his ceiling, and I'm talking ceiling. I don't think he's going to get there, but his ceiling is Draymond Green-esque in terms of that defensive-orientated power forward swing guy that can switch and play small ball center, but also push it up the floor and play the role. But he needs to have the right team around him, I think, to get the most out of him. So I'll sort of, see how we go there. What are your thoughts on my guy at number 7 here, Trey Mann? Have you had much research into my guy Trey?
I've not looked at any research. I'll do some now, just for you. But if you want to take the lead,
I'll take the lead. I'm a big raps on this man. And anyone who's not familiar with Trey Mann, look up some of his highlights, because this guy, He is a shifty ball creator. He's a three-level scorer. And what I mean by that, he can score from three, score from the mid-range, get into the paint. He's a great free-throw shooter. Handles, a lot of people have been saying he's... My comps for him is he's a taller Kemba light. As in, he's probably not got the handles that Kemba had when he came out of college, but probably the best handle I've seen since Kemba. And another comparison would be a bit CJ McCollum-ish. He's going to come in and he's going to be scoring in the NBA. There's a little bit of concerns about his defense, although I think he's 6'5". So at the point guard, I think that he has the size to at least be passable on defense. I don't think he's going to be like a Trae Young on the defensive end kind of thing. Some people also compare him to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who he kind of represents and looks like physically, although I think Shai is probably a better defender than he is. So 40% from three, you know, I think as a 58% true shooter, as a point guard, 6'5", I just think he's got all the tools to just hit the ground running in the league. So big fan of Trey Mann. But the team would need a point guard, need some offense. I don't think he's ever going to be a plus defender. But I just think with his offensive capabilities, that's enough to get yourself in this tier for me.
Does he have like true point guard kind of skills, or is he more the combo guard?
He's definitely a score first point guard, but I do think he has the ability to get those involved. Like, he's not ever going to be a Chris Paul or anything like that, but he has the ability of like I said, a Kemba Walker kind of type is probably the best comparison in terms of play style, I can say. But he's 6'5", so that just hides the defensive sort of negative that someone like Kemba has. But in terms of getting people involved, I'd say they're probably pretty similar. So not horrible and pretty good, especially if you've got other playmakers on the team. I think it works really well. Let's talk about Josh Giddey, the Aussie. He was my next guy at 9. I'm a bit annoyed we never went to see any Adelaide 36ers game,
Cal.
Yeah,
we should have gone to see him play. I'm actually a bit let down as well. Like, we could have seen him with our own eyes.
We're too late into the season, into draft season. But what are your thoughts on Josh Giddey? He's obviously 6'8", big point guard. You know, I've seen both ends of the spectrum in terms of big boards out there. Bit of a wide gap between him. What are your thoughts?
He looks like a great passer, playmaker. That's what they're kind of pumping him up to be, right?
Yeah. He looks amazing as a passer.
He is. Look, he finds guys in the open space. He's legit kind of like 6'8". So he's got the skills. He does. I feel like the one comparison I'm giving him, which is not a positive one, because I'm not completely sold on him. I kind of have him more towards the later end of the lottery, maybe like a 14th, which a lot of other people have as well.
I think that's fair.
Just because I don't really see the athleticism there. Yes, he can pass well, and the IQ helps, but I kind of, this is what people were saying a bit about Denny Advia when he came out of the draft, this most recent draft, and that Wizards team honestly was really bad. I guess he's a rookie, but outside of Bradley Beal and Westbrook, everyone sucked. Denny, look, he won the starting position, but I feel like this guy just kind of reminds me a bit of a Denny Advia, so I'm not super high on him personally.
Look, I think it's a fair comparison, but I think he's a much better passer. I think he's another tier in terms of creator in there. I think he is legitimately, you could compare him to Lonzo or LaMelo Ball in terms of his passing ability. And obviously the height will garner those kind of comparisons as well. But I don't think he's the scorer that LaMelo is. I think his best comparison is a Lonzo Ball or like a big Ricky Rubio, if that makes sense.
He's not quick enough to be compared to any of the Ball boys. Come on. Like, I'm looking at some.
Yeah, no, he's lacking that athleticism and lateral quickness, which is probably his biggest weakness.
Yeah, I'm reading Joe Ingles and Carl Anderson, which I actually don't hate. I don't hate those comparisons.
Yeah, I don't mind Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles is a good comp.
Another
Aussie. but Joe Ingles has probably got a better shot than he does, and probably not quite as talented as a passer. So I don't know. He's a bit of a mystery to me. I wouldn't, like I said, he's in this tier where he could probably go as low as 12th for me. But in terms of star upside, if everything aligns, I think that there is some upside here. But
when on your weakness chart, you've got shooting and defense. I can't give it to you. I'm sorry. I'm not super high on you. That's like, what's his weaknesses?
I think
he can't shoot.
I think the shooting
defense. Like
the shooting, I can see coming around. I think especially throughout the season, he's gotten better. I don't think the defense is ever going to be there personally. I think that's always going to be a weakness, but I think the shooting can not only be not a negative, it could maybe turn into a slight positive. He needs to make the shot quicker. He's got a slow shot, but I think he's getting more comfortable. He's one of the youngest in this draft, by the way. I think he might be the youngest in the draft. So there's time and there's potential, but I do agree that he's a bit more of a project than anyone else we've sort of mentioned. Let's go on to my let's talk really quickly my 10 and 11, Kai Jones and Jaden Springer. Did you have them in your top 10?
I did not. No.
Who are your top your next two, by the way? I had
Jalen Johnson at my number 9.
I
then had who you probably didn't have in your list. I just like him. Usman Garuba.
Garuba, I think, is, yes. I've got him a bit further down, but I do know him. Yeah.
Plays for Real Madrid, just an absolute hustler, blocks a lot of shots. Yeah. He reminds me a bit of Draymond Green without, I guess, the passing, but he's this really smart kind of guy who I think could help a lot of teams. So obviously your small ball 5 is what he's made for. So Garuba, I'm kind of high on.
Yeah, I see. I think you take away the passing from Draymond Green, and what is he? I mean, I don't know.
Defensive player of the year.
I see.
Defensive player of the year.
I mean, yeah, I see that. I don't know if that's a pretty big comparison to sort of give someone who's playing for Real Madrid over there. But I do. Some people really like this guy. I think he's got the chops. I kind of see him more of as just like a role player. So I don't know if he's worthy of going in the lottery. I've got him just outside. I see some Kenneth Faried kind of vibes with him, just like that hustle player. But, you know, how much is that really? I don't know. I think he's solid. I would agree. Probably some more passing instincts as well.
Yeah.
And who was your other guy? Jalen Johnson at 9.
Just another wing, another prospect. Like, the two-way, can play defense. He's got the tool. I think he's about 6'8". Everyone wants a wing. So he's up there. The other next couple guys, there's Davion Mitchell, who's meant to be that kind of defensive specialist kind of guard, combat guard. Offensively, not huge, but his three-point shot looks okay. So I can see a good like a team that would fit him. He fits a certain build, obviously, but someone like a New Orleans when you've already got your point forward, or even like a Mavericks when you've got Luka. He's a feisty kind of guy that you could bring, and if he hits the open three, if he learns that, he could be quite useful in the NBA. And then another guy was Sengun, who was the MVP of Turkey, 18 years old.
Yes.
Got a bit of a post-game. Alperen
Sengun or Sengun, or I can't pronounce his name. But
yeah, look, I'm probably butchering it as well, but MVP of the Turkey League is something.
Put up big numbers.
He did. He's more of a post player, so I'm not too sure how it will relate, but he's got really good footwork.
Yes, he does.
And he's a legit 6'10". Like, he's a big dude. He's probably fits for like the center role in this NBA.
Yep.
I'm not too sure where it will work, but I can see the potential there for him.
Yep. I don't mind all those picks. They're all there and abouts for me. I think the player that I'm highest on that you listed there was Davion Mitchell. He's obviously an older player. He's a senior in college? I think he's 22 or 23. So he's coming in older. There's a lot of questions around his jump shot. I think he struggled with his jump shot the first few years, but this year had a huge leap, shot over 40% from three. So whether or not that's legit, I have my doubts. His mechanics look fine. He looks like he looks confident in the shot. So perhaps he's just done a lot of work in there, but maybe he's not a 40% shooter from three. Maybe he's more like a 35, 36% shooter. So, you know, 40% is you're a good shooter there. So I don't know if that's going to be completely translatable, but the defense is going to be there. Definitely someone who's got a spot in the NBA just for that alone. I think he would go really well on a Golden State Warriors, for example. If they can snag him with that pick 14, I think that would be excellent for them. Because he's someone who could contribute right away, defend players that, you know, you can hide Steph Curry. So I really like that for them. I had Jalen Johnson also in my lottery at 14 as well. So I had Davion Mitchell 13 and Jalen Johnson 14 to round out my lottery there. Last ones that we haven't touched on, I want to circle back to Jaden Springer, who you didn't mention. I really like him as like a Davion Mitchell comparison, but maybe two or three years younger, maybe with a little bit more upside. He reminds me of like a Marcus Smart almost in a way. Defensive, strong-bodied point guard / shooting guard, maybe with a little bit more offensive potential than Marcus Smart. But I do like him. I think he has potential to be a starting point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, maybe like a Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, like a Kyle Lowry. I think he's a bit bigger than Kyle Lowry again, but and maybe not quite the offensive or shooting. He shot a good percentage, but on low attempts. So I'm wondering what that's about. Maybe if, you know, a team can get in and see him in a shoot around and he actually is just bombing away from threes, his stock actually would rise a bit. So I'm a bit skeptical of the jump shot at this point, but the mechanics look fine. And Kai Jones, I'm actually, he's someone who has made his way up my board as I've been researching a lot. Probably started close to like 20 or 18, but he's been coming in hot in my board. Looks like a bit of a Christian Wood or like a bigger, taller Siakam almost as like a ceiling. Just a hustle player, loves to drive to the rim, has a bit of a handle for a 6'11 big guy. Came off the bench in college, so he's still pretty raw, but just the physical tools look really, really enticing.
He's a bit older too. He is pretty raw, but he's 20 years old, so he's got like a couple of years in some of these guys.
Yeah. Apparently he only picked up basketball at the age of 16 or something like that, however. So he's
a red flag, to be honest.
Do you think it's a red flag? I see it the other way. I see it as a positive. He's picking it up quick.
Look, I would say I think there's a reason that Giannis can't carry a team to a championship, and there's a reason that someone like Luka could. So that man's been playing since
fair
he was
enough.
Three. Sometimes you throw need another, those kind of those basic fundamentals from a young age.
I'll throw another name at you though. Joel Embiid was a late adopter of basketball. Someone who only picked up the game at age 15 or so.
He's a specimen. He's like a legit 7'2", bigger than anyone.
Yeah, no, fair enough. He's and obviously the other guy that we're talking about, Kai Jones, is not that kind of a specimen, but he's got the physical tools. He is a very
6'11",
explosive athlete, yeah, yep. And can move laterally, has a bit of a handle, showed a little bit of touch from the outside as well. So he's probably a higher upside, maybe a little bit more of a swing for the fences kind of pick, but someone I do really like. All right, well, we might call it there. Anything else you want to touch on regarding the draft? We're gonna talk about this a bit more in the future, though, when we know the order. But any last words?
I think there is a lot of good wings to be picked up in this lottery. So something to look out for. Usually it's a bit of hit and miss. So maybe one of these guys could be the next Kawhi. You never know.
Maybe we'll see someone come through. I think it's top heavy this draft. I like that top four. I think you've got four players who, you might say five, but I think there's four players that you can literally see, legitimately see, be all stars from this class, and then maybe one or two surprises that come through. So, very top heavy draft, and I'm excited. We find out the lottery in how long now? Maybe a week or so, 2 weeks I think from now. So that's when we'll touch on this, and we'll actually have some mock drafts to go through.
This will actually be one of the best like lotteries to actually watch, because there's so much running in this for a lot of teams.
Lots of teams that have got picks on the line. Yeah, some players can lose picks. So, yeah, lots of fallout. Lots of fallout. I'm very excited to see where Golden State Warriors are. If they get their second pick off the Timberwolves, that will be a big one. I think is it Houston could lose it if it's outside the top three. Few different things to happen there, so very exciting. All right, well, we might call it there. If you love NBA and you love NBA draft fantasy basketball, which we'll also do when the season starts to get closer, hit us up on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. Like the video, subscribe, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.